Welcome to episode 2 of Human Noise. This is a podcast that me and Nikkei are starting in like Sri Lanka.
That's right. And every week we hope to have on different guests. Guests will be here when we change the shot.
Yeah. Boom. And it's Tariq today, who's a friend of ours from school. And we are going to talk about happiness and the plans that our parents had for us. And the way they failed dramatically. No. And we talk a lot about colonialism and how much that has affected us and our lives personally, like the colonial hangover that this country suffers from and how that affects our people, but also us personally, right?
That's right. And it's more of a exploration of ideas and how we feel it is. Like, it might be a touchy subject, but hopefully, just add your ideas as well. We're not saying we're right. We're not,
We'd love to
advocating a certain perspective.
We're not taking a side. We're not getting behind an idea. We're not taking a side. So use your feedback. Post your comments. We'd love to hear what you have to say. We're doing this. We're starting this whole thing because we want to push this medium, because we feel like through natural conversations, you can have a better, more fair, more open, and ultimately deeper exploration of ideas than when you have 10 minutes and you got to be really focused and follow a script or whatever. So if you guys want to start your own podcast, we really recommend that. We reckon and if you want to post suggestions, you want to post your ideas, you want to post your thoughts, we'd love that as well.
So do that. Hopefully once you watch the video, check out the website. We also have audio.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to listen to us,
look at us. If you don't want to look at us, you don't look at our fucking faces. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, but if you do want to listen to us
and not look at us.
Yeah, if you don't have the time or just the patience, download it, and while you're doing other stuff that you usually do, add it, see whether it improves.
I mostly listen when I'm like riding or when I'm driving or when I'm doing chores or when I'm at work and it's fucking boring. So
appreciate your feedback and
we hope you enjoy it.
That's right.
Yeah. Peace. Yeah. Anyway, I'll ask you a different question. What do you reckon in our lives, right? So we're living and we had all these things. We grew up, we had to get an education. Everyone told us that was really important. And we had to get a job, and everyone told us that was really important. And now we're at a stage where we're working, and where we've been working for how long have you been working for? I've been working for 3 years.
About 3 years.
Yeah. You?
Yeah.
A year?
Yeah.
You young motherfucker. And everyone told me that this would make me happy and shit. So it's are you happy?
I am happy, but I think I was happier when I was younger.
What do you mean, man?
I don't know, man. It's at the time. See, that's the thing. See, I can never, or maybe it's not just me, it's probably everybody, but I think most people, it's very hard for them to realize it at the time. It's always more like a retrospectively looking back.
Yeah.
And then is when you can judge your feelings and kind of decide this is how I felt, this is how. So I think for me it's very hard for me to kind of in the moment, realize what's going on or how happy I am. So back then in school, I don't know, man. It was a lot of fun for me in school. I had a really good group of friends. I played basketball. We were pretty awesome at basketball. Our team, and so we did really well as a team. That was really fun, and. We had a good group of friends. We always had a good time, and we used to hang out and shit. We played a lot of pranks on people. I don't know, stupid shit, but when I look back, I had a lot of fun in those days, and at that time I was happy. So right now maybe.
But if it's a retrospective thing, how do you know that you're not happy now and 5 years?
Yeah, that's the dilemma. It's I'm not really dilemma, but it's hard.
But you did all those things, you did all the things that we're supposed to do, the education and the job and shit.
Yeah.
So why are we not happy, man? Why are you not happy?
Because I think it's the one difference is the responsibility aspect. it's like when you grow old and older, like I think it's generally accepted for like people at a young age that they get away with more a lot of shit. Like, whereas if you're older and you're an adult and like, you know, it's like everybody expects you to like get your shit together and start doing shit, and like that responsibility, it becomes stressful, or you know, like the responsibility to do certain things, like to have
a family, be like a functioning adult,
to be a functioning adult, yeah, definitely, and like all of this.
It stresses you out.
It's like stresses, not yeah, man. Like it's not only that. I'm sure it's like, you know.
What about
it's
you,
like
man?
A bunch of different combining reasons, but
no, for me it's more like now I think I'm happier simply because I understand a little more of like I can define myself better, so therefore I can be happy.
Yeah, like how?
In the sense that before, of course, you come to certain realizations as you grow older, and in terms of like how you perceive yourself, and normally at least my recent realizations have been of the fact that a lot of my personality is normally. A lot of personality is developed through like singular instances where I judge certain things about myself, and then I project like that as myself, and then I feel for some reason.
Oh yeah, it's way too abstract.
Way too abstract.
You gotta give me an example.
Let's see.
No, he was saying how like, you know, that I think he was saying how like there are certain things that like certain situations that he goes through. Like, it could be like one situation, and then he reacts in a certain way. And then judges himself based on that reaction, and then continues to live life based on what he just experienced or what he
so give me
about.
So give me an example.
Is that pretty much what you said?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think a good example would be the whole like not talking to girls in school thing.
Yeah, you gotta explain how that happened, all right? Because that's
that was a.
No one's gonna know that's a default thing. You gotta explain that.
No, man, just let's leave it at that.
No, we should not.
No, you need to explain what happened. Like people don't know what happened.
No, like, I ended up not talking to girls for a while at school, like this.
Not for a while, for like a good, like, I'm thinking like 4 years?
No, ever since you came to British, man.
Yeah, so form three?
Yeah. When did you come? Form three?
Form three?
Yeah.
So far, and pretty much right through upper six, so that's form three, four, five, so 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years.
That you've been talking to girls.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's exclusively at school, so.
So why didn't you talk to girls in school?
Well, I think someone asked me a question of like, I think it was originally like, did I watch porn? And I hadn't watched porn.
A girl asked you a question?
No.
A guy asked you this question? Yeah. Alright.
And it went from that to like not talking to girls very fast.
Why?
I'm not very sure why.
How did porn and not talking to girls relate to each other?
Yeah.
No, it went down the road of like having watched porn. And
it's easily the most sexist podcast we've ever done.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to get some women on this shit, for real.
Go on, anyway. Talk more about watching porn.
Yeah. Talking a lot about fucking porn. Anyway, go on.
Tribulations of a generation. Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, we went from like not watching porn to having not like jacked off and to not talking to girls.
So how have you not jacked off though?
No, but I
like at that time you're saying.
No.
Yeah.
But how old were you at that time? But then that continued till like upper six though, right?
Yeah, but then it just got really awkward. And so
I think once he started not doing it, like it was just like it's too much pressure to like change it now.
But then girls would pick up a lot of momentum, you know? They like to just
for a while and then like you just
then they stopped. You were like Raj from the Big Bang Theory, but like actual, like real, like a real person. You know? Like that's you were like a real Raj.
Yeah.
So now what's the difference?
What do you mean?
Okay, obviously like you talk to women, right? But I'm saying that in terms of like your happiness and shit, what's the difference?
None. In the sense that now, of course, it's not that like you're particularly happy, but the thing is like, probably like sunshine.
What's the difference between that and now, dude? What were you trying to get out of that?
Well, the thing is, you get into a mind state, and so it's the training of the mind to like get into a mind state to accomplish like a task.
Right.
And, it's one thing you become pretty good at because you're continuously like cramped. But it's different because now when you work, it's just every day of the same thing. Like before, at least when you were studying, it was a month of like studying and then.
Yeah.
But like now, it's just like every day, like.
Yeah, it's a responsibility, man. It's like I think more than anything for me, anyway. I'm like I'm just denying the fact that oh, I'm old now, and I have to fucking do shit for myself, and I can't just rely on. The idea is, I don't know, Stefan, maybe it's different for you because honestly.
Like, so for me, man, I'll tell you how it is like for me. For me, man, like, I, I had all, okay, when I was a kid, right, a lot of weird shit happened in my, like, childhood and shit, right? Like, bad shit and stuff.
Did you get raped?
No, I didn't get raped. Although, when I was a, like, when I was a deacon,
yeah.
Like, I went to see the campus doctor once and, like, he felt me up a little.
But that was old, when you were old.
Yeah, when I was like, then I was like, what's going on? And then, like, he, I mean, it was only, like, for, like, about, like, less than a minute.
So you could let him go on for a minute?
It's a relatively long period
of time. No, like, he was like...
is this coming out of closet?
No, he was, like, checking me out, and, like, he was, like,
doing check-ups. You want to go back in that corner?
No, I'm good.
Just for, like, visual...
No, he was, like, touching, like, my... Like, he was, like checking my chest and shit. He was listening to my heartbeat and shit. And then, like, he just, like, he was just, like, he, like, was holding, like, my balls and asking me to cough and shit. He was doing that. But then he was also kind of, like, doing that for, like, way too long. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know that's, like, a normal thing. But he did it for like a while. And he didn't wear gloves.
So he touched his dick?
Oh, he did a little bit. But he also wore gloves and shit. It was really awkward. And no, he didn't wear gloves is what I'm saying. Like, he wasn't wearing gloves and shit. And yeah. But anyway, the point being is that like, there was like a lot of drama and shit, right? And I always felt like as a kid, like that I wanted to live my life differently than like other people were living.
Like, as I was, like, while you were a kid, or, like, as in...
While I was a kid. Like, I wasn't into the same shit that other people were into. I wasn't, like, amused by the same shit that other people were amused by.
Yeah, because, I mean, we were friends, but, like, I also... I had, like, well, like I was saying, right, I had, like, clique of people.
Yeah, yeah.
But then also, I was friends with you.
Yeah.
But you weren't really, like... I mean, you were obviously friends. I mean, everybody was friends with everybody.
But I wasn't, like, tight friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We weren't, like... I mean, we were cool with...
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I was cool with them, but we weren't, like, friends.
Yeah,
friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like, I was just like, it was just hard for me, like, to be getting into the same kind of shit that they were into and shit. Not that there's anything wrong with it or anything like that, but it was
everybody,
my whole thing was just like different, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, also, I was gonna say, like, about you, like, as a child though, like, you also had, I think you started having responsibilities a lot earlier than most kids do, you know?
Yeah.
Because your mom was, it was only you and your mom. And
yeah.
Your mom did a lot, but you also had to like kind of do a lot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For example, with me, I had both my parents. And
yeah.
I had maids to do shit. I'm not a real snob, but like that.
No, I know. Mean, no, that's a real thing,
yeah,
man.
Real, and like
it's
most people,
thing, yeah.
Most people, it's not only me, like most
no,
people
most,
still have those.
Most, yeah, even if you don't have maids, your mom does a lot of shit to you,
exactly.
Man. It's crazy.
And like, so in that sense, like, you know, you definitely had more responsibility.
Yeah.
So you
but
had,
now, like, I've
time.
Gotten, like, so back then I had to do all this shit, right? And I had to, like, find my way and shit. But I also felt, like, really, like, helpless and shit.
Yeah.
Like, I always felt like I couldn't do the things I wanted to do. Like, I always wanted to do shit, but I had a lot of resistance from, like, school, from, like, my mom. Like I had a lot of, like, forces, like, pushing against it.
Yeah.
But now I feel, like, really, like, powerful and shit. Like, I feel like I can do whatever the fuck I want. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I can do whatever. I can live my life however I want. I do, like, whatever the fuck I want. Like, pretty much. Like, not that... That doesn't mean that, like...
No, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Exactly
it doesn't
mean,
like, I fucking, like, I, like, fucking rage every weekend and I drink, like, shit and I'm, like,
I bang,
like, 100 hookers and, like,
no,
smoke
I know,
cocaine
I know,
and shit.
I know exactly what
but
you mean.
But what I mean is, like, I just... if somebody, like, is doing some shit and I'm, like, not into it, I'm just like, no, I'm not really into that, so I'm not gonna do that. But someone's doing some shit and I disagree, I'm just like, I disagree. And then I work, I do the job that I want to do. And I like podcasts if I want to. And I fucking write if I want to. Like, I just do, I just like look for shit that I like and I do it. And there's like no one to like stop me. So I feel really good about that.
Yeah.
I have like other issues and shit that's like difficult, like problems in life and stuff like that. Everyone has angst and like you worry about bills and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I get to do like whatever I want. So it's like I'm chilled now.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
so,
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Exactly what you
but I think like the issue with working normally is like, especially if you're working, a lot of your energy is spent towards like your work.
Yeah,
and a lot of that energy normally is, well, for most people and most cases, it's normally not geared towards something that you're into.
Yeah,
or even if it is geared towards something you're into, like the benefit, like. The idea is normally not holistic. It's
normally like very, it's normally to get paid.
Yeah.
And because of that, there's a lot of this energy that you just waste, and normally, and you don't really use it in what you
want. Yeah, I mean, it's a very hard thing to like work. I mean, they say like, if you, you know, if you do what you love, it's not working.
No, yeah. No. So do you do what you love?
No, hell no.
So why don't you do what you love?
Because I can't. But what I love to do is fucking be, go, you know, I mean, when I was a kid, what I only wanted to do is play basketball.
Yeah.
But I can't do that.
Because you're short.
Yeah, short and skinny and fucking, like in America to be like, you know, especially in America too.
Yeah.
Because that's where the NBA is, right?
Yeah.
And like, in terms of skill level, I could match up for sure. But like, there's a different element of like,
physicality
that comes into the game. That
you can't be like a 60 kilo, like 5'9 and like be in the NBA and shit, even if you're really skillful.
Yeah, exactly.
But what about that Jeremy Lin kid?
He's decent, man.
He's pretty big, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big dude, you know.
He just looks small compared to the other dudes. Yeah, yeah, but he's
I mean, big. That's a mean, at least you have to be over 6 feet.
He's
at
over least, 6 feet?
Yeah, he's 6'2 or something.
Shit, man. He looks like 5 foot tall compared to the other dudes around him.
I mean, and like anybody under 6 feet are like exceptional at what they do. Like, for example, like, Muggsy Bogues was like 5'5 actually.
Yeah?
And like, his dribbling was just like exceptional, you know?
But I was thinking it was a long time ago.
Yeah, and but even still now, like, Scott Webb was pretty short. Like, there are shorter players.
How short? Like, not less than 5'11.
Under 6, man.
Yeah, 5'11, 5'10.
5'10, 5'11, like my height, you know?
Yeah.
And, so I mean, there's space for shorter players, but generally it will be like, you have to be exceptional at something. When I say exceptional, I mean like, there's NBA good, and then there's a level higher than that that they own. Like, for example, Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah.
He was really shy, and he was really good at dribbling. That's one aspect of basketball, you know?
Yeah.
It was crazy how good he was.
Yeah.
He might be on par with everybody else shooting, for example.
Yeah.
But dribbling was something that he was actually like crazy good at. Like, shit like that, you know? And like, Spud Webb, for example, he could dunk only on 5'10.
Yeah.
And like shit like
that. But the thing like this, right? Like, I reckon that, okay, so for example, I'd love to be like a pro fighter. Like, I would love to be like a pro cage fighter, like a pro MMA fighter. Alright?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to be a pro MMA fighter. I'd love if that was my job, alright? And I could do that job. But I can't. Like, I can't. Like, I'm not nearly athletic enough. Like, I can, if I train really, really hard and, like, push myself, and when I wasn't working, I was pushing my body, like, really hard and shit, then I can be kind of decent at it.
Yeah.
But that's, if I'm pushing myself to the limit, I can be decent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you can't. That's not nearly enough, right? There's dudes who, like, will do, like, 10% of the effort I put in and will be just, like, monsters.
Yeah.
Like, they're just fucking, you can't keep up with those dudes.
Yeah.
Their cardio is crazy. This punches is crazy. I used to train with this one dude, man. He used to, like, go 3 rounds with me, go 3 rounds with someone else, go 3 rounds with the next dude. Like, just boom, 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 boom. Just, hit, like, knock them all out and shit. Like, not knock them out, but, like, he'd be able to hang. Like, his cardio was crazy. One time he rode a bicycle, like, from, like, Maragama to Devala. And then he trained with us after he rode the bicycle from Maragama to Devala. Right? So that dude's like, you can't, like, match up with that shit, right?
But yeah, obviously then, people have, like, naturally people have.
But then I also really like writing. And I like coming up with, like creative expressions and shit.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, like, follow that. So how do you know that you don't have, like, another thing that you've been to? It's not your first choice, but
definitely. Yeah, I agree. I think it's just a case of, like, exploring your options, you know? And, but it's more than that, man. It's like you said, you have this power. You feel like you have a power, this power, like, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say it's the same with me.
Why not?
Because I still, you know, my family is, like, there's still pressure from there, you know, in terms of, like, how I lead my life and shit like that. So I have, you know, I've grown up with those responsibilities, those, I kind of, the idea of, you know, like, community and, like, being responsible enough not to fucking bring shame to my family, shit like that, dude. Like,
but what would bring, like, shame to your family and shit?
Like, being a fucking rebel, man, and, like, you know. Like,
no, but
doing
I'm
shit, doing, like, what I want, and, like,
what
not,
would,
not
what
necessarily
would be
what
a
I
rebel?
Want.
What would be a rebel?
Like maybe, like, drinking and, like, smoking pot and, you know, like, getting fucked up. Shit like that. Or, you know, I mean, those are, like, very, like...
What if you had an unconventional profession? Like, you were, like, a tattoo artist?
Yeah, that, even that, no, man.
That would bring shame to your family?
not really shame, but like not really shame. That if it, if it, that's not really shame, but it's more like it's not respectful, and I don't want to become tattooist, first of all. That's not what I do. But like that, I know what you mean when you say that type of job. You know, something.
I'm just trying to think of a job that like we actually like a lot of people enjoy. Yeah. Some people are really good at, but still people still diss them. Like even when they're really good at it.
Yeah.
Like they still get shit from that. They still get hit from their parents and shit.
Yeah.
Even though they're good at their job.
Like you know, something like a fucking DJ, for example. Yeah, I mean, I would love
to be a DJ.
I don't know if I'm good at it. Like, I never tried to DJ. I've never tried, but I have friends who DJ, and that has happened over the past few years. You know, like Ravi and
like your friends Manuel started DJing.
Over the past 5 years, and they're all really good at it, and like they play awesome music. And
but you feel like you couldn't do that?
Not that I couldn't do it.
You feel like that would bring like disrespect to your family or whatever?
Not disrespect, but I feel like my dad or my parents would like, maybe over time it would get better, obviously, but
it's like a loss of face.
Yeah, it's like,
what do you mean it's like a loss of face?
Like,
I mean, Sadiq might know, man. His family is pretty conservative.
So let's see. what do you mean like a loss of face?
In the sense that normally the culture is set up that everybody judges the other people, and that's how you sort of maintain a sort of level of, well, at a basic sense, that's how you maintain society as a whole.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's how you maintain like your self-identity as well. And so a lot of times...
No, I'm just saying, like just specifically, what do you mean by it would bring a loss of face?
What does that mean? For example, simply, it probably would mean something like, well, your parents no longer, when they're talking with the other people their age, there is a certain sense of like, I raised this person and this is the result.
Yeah.
So it sort of looks bad, like, well, if you don't think what you have raised is doing something useful in your eyes, then that's sort of like a waste of years.
Yeah.
And having a kid especially is like a lot of like, it's an investment, like time and money.
Yeah, that's also another thing, you know, like my dad has spent all his money for me to go. Like for example, like one example is I went to school in America, right?
Yeah.
For the longest time I was really homesick. I was like, I America is cool, but it's not somewhere I see myself living like long term. I don't want to live in a country like that. It's crazy. Like, I want to live in Sri Lanka. So for a long time.
Really?
Like, yeah, for sure, man. Like. Why is that surprising?
Because I wouldn't want to live. I mean, look, man.
I don't know about America, but I think.
No, man. In general, America it's okay, man. But it's like it's the lifestyle there is like.
Like what I would say is this country, like it's mine, as in I was born here. Like it's mine, right? But it hasn't been good to me. Like it's been.
I think to a certain extent it has been good to me.
Yeah. And
so from my eye, from my perspective, from my life or whatever, like I like it, you know, like there's comforts here that I appreciate. The lifestyle.
Yeah, I don't have any comforts here than I have in other places. You know, like it's very hard to in Sri Lanka. Like it's very hard to like if you have no comforts, create comforts for yourself.
Yeah.
It's very hard to build something for yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really fucking like rough, right? Like we don't have good social mobility. Like it's very hard to like if you have nothing to go to get to a point where you have something, it's like really really rough. Like you got to really fucking be like scraping and like
definitely
like scrapping for shit. It's like really fucking rough.
And like I can definitely see how you would probably like do much better for yourself in a country who appreciates that type of personality, you know, like somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's a Western oriented country, like basically Australia or America.
But at the same time, I also reckon like loads of Sri Lankan men. If you look at the mass population in our country, man, like I think a lot of people, like they may love it here, but I think a lot of their love is based on like they haven't like experienced anything different.
Yeah.
But they are like struggling, man. People are like fucking like people. I think average salary is like $40,000 right now, $40,000-$50,000. Like what can you like? Their family is living on like $40,000-$50,000, man.
Yeah.
Like literally millions of families. So it's like, how do people live like that, man? It's like very little money, man.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't have like. It's not that they don't work. They work like fucking crazy. But they don't have a way of making
money. No, definitely. And that speaks to like fucking income disparity, you know. Basically Sri Lanka does not have a middle class. That's basically it. Like the majority, like in America, for example, if you think about America or any Western country, that's like a first world country. If you look at like the way income is dispersed, the majority of people are fucking middle class. They earn a decent wage, but enough for them to live comfortably, you know, like eat good food, like with no problems.
Yeah.
And like there's a section who's poor and there's a section who's really rich.
Yeah.
But in Sri Lanka, it's like there's a section that's really rich and everybody else is pretty much.
Yeah.
Below a certain level.
Everyone else is like struggling.
Yeah, everyone else is
even
struggling.
If you're not poor, like you're like exactly. really like it's rough.
Yeah,
like it's rough. Like it's not.
You're struggling, you're right. That's the correct word. You're struggling. Like, poor maybe not the correct word because when someone says poor, it's like, oh, you're fucking in poverty and shit, you know?
Yeah.
But
even if they're not in poverty, man, they're like working really hard and not they don't have a lot to show for like the work they put in.
Yeah.
And that's like the big issue.
Yeah, I think like sadly that comes a lot from like I wouldn't say it's only us, but like there's this mentality where you don't want to overpay, and like it's all about
you never overpay, man.
Nobody likes to overpay, but the thing is like it's detrimental in the sense that when you realize that most of the time you don't want to overpay, like or at least pay sufficiently for other people to also live okay.
No, but what I'm saying is
really cheap, and it's not only on like a personal level; it's on a business level.
No, I think that
when you're working with businesses and
that's true.
No, and see, and you're absolutely right. And the reason that I can see like what I've experienced is that people fail to understand there's a value that comes when you pay somebody for what they're worth.
Yeah,
you know? Like there's a value that brings that. See, like and I know what you feel like because I know when I'm being paid for something that. You know, for example, like my job there, it's very client oriented.
Yeah.
Right? So I deal with clients a lot.
Yeah.
And then, and I'm paid from my boss, whatever. And so when, so for example, right? So when I do some work for a client and they appreciate it, right? Like, oh, they say, thank you, Tariq. Like, I enjoyed working with you or whatever. The next time that they, I get a product with them, I do more than what is necessary. Like,
yeah.
And it's not something that comes, like, it's not something I think about and say, oh, you know, I have to do more because, you know, I have to keep up my standard with them. It's not that at all. It's just the fact that they appreciated my work.
Yeah.
Made me want to do
more
for them. And so that's to do with the financial thing.
Yeah.
Like when someone feels like they're being paid for what it is, the next time, like, they want to do better, you know?
Yeah.
And that value is hard to put into, like,
people.
A number or something. And like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That it's very hard for someone to realize.
It's hard to
that
quantify,
exactly.
like human kindness
and
human potential.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so because of that, like that's why people are mostly underpaid because obviously there's a financial aspect to it. But then the person paying doesn't realize that extra amount that you give them is in the long term will be better for you because you're going to get more out of that person.
That's true.
You know?
But there's also another issue that exists like this, right? Where it's like, so you know how you're saying we don't have a middle class, right?
Yeah.
So one of the, like, historically, one of the reasons we don't have a middle class is because we were colonized as a country and colonial people came in and they fucking, colonial people, like, lived it up and shit. And they took the resources from the land and shit. Like that. Sri Lankans made very little money from the resources that were generated in the country. And Sri Lankan people didn't really have a good conception of the value of these resources right?
Yeah,
like, they didn't have a
good
conception of, like, money and finance in the international, like, trade markets and shit.
Yeah, definitely.
So then subsequently what happened was that as colonials started moving out and these businesses started moving into the hands of Sri Lankans, they continue the same mentality. So there's Sri Lankan people who are, like, the wealthy class in the society who took on those same roles and there are other people who, like, would continue to be the role that, like, the colonials originally put like Sri Lankans in, right? So a lot of people, so it's a reason why, man, I get like really weird out now when I go to like work and shit. There's like the person who makes like who cleans the office, the person who makes tea in the office, the security guards, the drivers, they all call me sir, and it's fucking weird. They're all older than me, and they're like fucking, a lot of them are like fathers, they have like families and they call me sir, and it's so fucking weird, right? I've done nothing like to be called sir and shit. Right?
I know exactly what you're
and saying. I can't fucking deal with that, but that is like an aspect of like, it's the reason why we don't have a middle class. It's this sort of like
mentality,
neo-colonial mentality that our society is like operating under.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, it's not like to do, I don't think it's a caste system. I don't think it's the extent of a caste system for sure.
It's not religious, but yeah. it's a class system, not a caste system. Yeah, it's a class system, exactly.
Maybe that's the better phrase. A class system. And like, and the funny, and the fucked up thing is the people in those low class accept the
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like they're even rebelling against, they accept
yeah,
that. And
yeah.
And they happily do that. It's not like,
yeah.
It's like a fucking, you know, shitty thing for them to do, you know?
Yeah,
like,
no.
They're happy to do
if
it.
If I tell them not to call me sir, they feel real weird about
yeah,
it. They
yeah.
get real uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They go, and they stop themselves. Like,
yeah.
I tried it, like, for a
yeah,
bit.
Yeah,
I told
yeah.
people not to call me sir and shit, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
They were really upset about it and shit, right? They couldn't,
yeah.
like, handle it. And once they accept that, they're going to be paid less.
Yeah.
And other people accept that you're going to pay them less.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's exactly, and it's like, that's the problem. It's like, That you know they don't do anything. But like my maid, you know my maid, right? Like she's been here for like 4 years.
Yeah.
My family,
yeah.
like my mom was a kid.
Yeah.
So she's pretty much like my second mom. She raised me. She fed me.
Yeah.
You know, like all this shit. So like now when I come back from, there's a very joke funny in your head, right? Like,
no. I'm wondering if she calls you Tariq Mate. I'm just wondering.
No, she calls me Raja, which means king. In Tamil.
No, but Raja is also that's what you call like children.
Yeah.
No,
but it's like she calls my older brother Kanda, me Raja, and my sister Sinde. So in Tamil, she actually is the native language.
Yeah.
It means king, prince,
goddess.
Okay. Raja means prince, so I'm
yeah.
the prince. Sinde is princess, my sister's. And Kanda is like either king or I don't know something. Whatever. So
is that what you call kids?
Normally call Raja as like a term of endearment, like you want to.
No, but it means like prince. Like,
yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But it's hardly ever you.
Yeah.
It's weird that she doesn't call you Tariq.
Yeah, she never. And like and so like what I'm saying is when I come home, you know, like for holidays now, ever since I went to fucking America and shit, like she'll like come like my house is three stories, right? So we're
yeah.
and watching TV in the third story, and she's old now, you know, she's almost 60 years old, and she doesn't do anything like. Now she's just part of the family. She's gonna pretty much die in our house.
Yeah.
Now she's gonna be there forever. The only thing she does now is like manage the other people and like cooks a little bit and shit. And so she'll like walk all the way up, like, you know, just to give me an evening snack, for example. Like, and she'll, and I won't even ask her.
Yeah.
And she'll think about me, oh, you know, like,
yeah.
Tariq needs a snack right now. So she'll take the time to cook something, walk all the way up, you know, and she's 60, she has leg problems. I'm that chilling watching TV like a, you know, like a badass. And this old poor lady is bringing food and drinks for me, you know?
That's so awful, man.
Like,
I know.
It takes maybe like this whole process of cooking maybe takes like maybe 30, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then walking up itself is like a 10-minute process for me.
Yeah.
Whereas I could have gone in 30 seconds and at least brought my, picked up my food.
With your healthy young fucking legs.
Yeah. And picked my food up and gone back up, you know?
Yeah.
That would have been a minute for me, but instead, no, you know? So. And it's like, and for her to do that brings her joy. It's like, it brings her joy for
yeah,
her to do that for
no,
me.
For real, for
and,
real.
And that is insane for me to think about how she, how her mind, it's a mind, you know? Like,
yeah.
And man, so that's...
That's something as well
yeah.
I find, like, when you try to explain it to, like, people who don't come from societies that have
yeah.
this, it's really hard for them to understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they always think that it's, like, adversarial. But no, it's, you know what it's like? It's like fucking Downton Abbey. Oh, it's like
yeah.
that shit. That is the only show that I've watched where, like, I watched that and I got, like, a deep insight into Sri Lankan culture. Because in Downton Abbey, like, the maids and shit are really proud about that and they
yeah.
would never call someone by their name,
yeah.
even if they asked them to. They'd be, like, really uncomfortable about it and shit like that.
Yeah.
It's so fucking weird, man. And it's like, I don't know, man. Oh, another example is like this, right? You know how when the economy collapsed and a lot of people got, like, salary reductions and stuff like that in countries like Greece, Italy,
yeah,
and Spain, and shit
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And subsequently, there were riots in the street and shit like that, right? Over, like, the income disparity, about the economy crashing and shit
yeah,
like that. Like,
yeah,
people
yeah.
went fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Everyone was protesting in the street. Everyone was, like, trying to overthrow the government. They were like, it's ridiculous. You guys can't do this shit to us.
Yeah.
And shit like that, right? But in, like, Sri Lanka and India and places like Mumbai and shit, like, you know, where, like, the income disparity is, like, fucking crazy, you know?
Yeah.
No one, like, I mean, people complain, but nobody, like, protests.
Yeah, yeah,
people
yeah.
don't take to the streets in that way.
Yeah.
People
no,
don't
feel
empowered.
Because it's always been like that. You know?
Yeah.
And it's a recent phenomenon for those countries. That's why they're protesting.
No, but the thing is, it's always been like that in the sense, when you say that, it's been like that for, like, a few hundred years.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And
but that's long enough that the generation has come and gone, yeah. And that ideology is being built now, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why it's pretty much like it's always been like that.
It's crazy how bad people are so, like, people will not accept that poverty is a natural state of existence in these countries.
Yeah.
Like Italy and Greece and like Spain and stuff. But in Sri Lanka, people and India and in these like countries that suffer from this, like, I have a friend who calls it a colonial hangover, right? So countries that suffer from the colonial hangover, people will accept that as the norm.
Yeah.
People will accept that that's like the way of life and shit.
No, definitely. But I would say, you know, the one positive from all of this is the fact that in terms of happiness, coming back to, you know, your idea.
Yeah.
You ask me about happiness.
Yeah.
Like, I would say that in places like Sri Lanka and stuff, even the people who are in poverty, you know, like in the villages and stuff.
Yeah.
I think they're still happy. Like, maybe, like, I know there's beggars in Colombo, and that's just a result of fucking, what's the term we learn in geography? Like, when people from the villages move to the urbanization, right? And that's a different scene I'm talking about. And that's just, you know, they come here thinking that they'll have a better life. Not
okay.
But in terms of, like, people who live in the villages still, who live a very simple life, live on subsistence, and all that shit. Pretty much they're poor, you know? Like, they have small heart.
Yeah.
In terms of happiness, they're still happy, man, you know? Like, they're still, like, content. You know, like, they have no worries.
I don't know, man. I reckon they're happy, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that happiness has more to do with being happy and content with what you have.
Rather than
being happy and content because your situation is good. Because it's not good.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
I don't know the degree to which we can say that. Maybe it's true.
I'm saying if you compare it to like a Western country, that you'll never have that. People in the Western country,
is a good thing that they're happy like that.
It's not a good thing because people take advantage of that.
Those people get taken advantage of. That's what I'm saying.
Sure. It's not a good thing, but it's a positive that comes out of this, at least for them, you know? Like,
it's a good quality to have as a person.
But
its impact on its society and how, like,
yeah.
It's negative, right? It's a really good quality, like, as an individual to learn to be happy with what you have.
Yeah.
That's for sure. It's true, right? And a lot of these people, you go, they still, like, have fun and stuff. It's not like you go and it's, like, a fucking wasteland.
No, I know, exactly.
They have, like, their village festivals, parties.
Yeah.
They have, like, they go crazy for Vesak and stuff like that.
It's not only that. It's just that I'm talking about day-to-day living as well.
Yeah, they're happy. They definitely laugh smart. They're definitely living happy lives. But at the same time, man, when shit hits the fan, they get taken advantage of.
No, definitely.
Not even when shit hits the fan, man. With anything, they get taken
advantage of. No, but I'm saying is they're the kind of people who, like, they may lose, that some government dude may, like, take a house away from them, and they wouldn't, like, fucking know the legal cause of what the fuck happened to them.
Yeah, I know.
They're the kind of people who, like, if there's any kind of natural disaster, any kind of, like, thing going on, a development project or anything happening in their village, when shit gets fucked up, they don't have a mechanism to speak out and say,
definitely,
you just fucked up our community, you just fucked up our lives. But they have no way of, like, they have no voice.
Yeah.
Right? And loads of shit happened, like that humbug sort of thing with the fertilizers and shit like that.
Yeah, definitely.
And, like, there was nothing. Like, those people had no real voice to, like, come out and be like...
And even if they did, like, everybody, nobody cares, you know?
Yeah, no one listens.
No one will care, no one listens. It has to, like, it's definitely a long, drawn-out process, even if someone decides to pursue it. And so...
If 10 business leaders in Colombo, like, died from, like, some, like, fertilizer poisoning related thing, right?
Yeah.
There'd be fucking hell to pay.
Yeah.
People would, like, lose government seats, and because of the nature of a country, some people might die over it and shit. Like, some people might get assassinated over it and shit.
No, definitely.
If these people die, like nothing happens to them. Their communities get devastated, and, like, there's no, like, salvation for them.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So I don't know. It's on the one hand, I'm always.
But it's like that's the reality of it, you know. Like
yeah.
You and I can talk about all this shit, but like we have to accept the reality of it.
Yeah.
And yes, you know. I mean, like I always say, okay, you and I can't change it, and then
we can change.
No,
it.
No.
What the fuck?
I mean, no. What I'm trying to say is like when I one person can't. I always think, okay, you know, who am I to change something? But then the obvious come back to that is like, look, it all has to start somewhere. Like everybody has to do their own part, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So I know that argument. So, but at the same time, everybody has to accept the reality of this, right? So, in what I'm trying to say is that if you accept the reality of what's going on, the only positive is at least that they are happy. It's not like they don't feel as if they're suffering.
No, man.
Compared to like a westernized country where, like, you know, where the norm is to like, or the norm is to rather, you know, climb the ladder and like be successful.
And never be happy no matter how much you get.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know what I mean? The fucking American dream, right? Everybody, for example, in America, like everybody.
That's why I love the Great Gatsby.
It's a statement. It's a statement where, okay, if you do work hard, blah, 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 you will rise and do, you know, do what you want. But, and then, so at the same time, when you see a beggar in the road, it's like, you're in this country, you know, no matter what your circumstances were, no matter what your opportunities were, if you, you know, if you had made something out of yourself, you could go. And yes, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so that in that reality,
well, like, in the capitalist world, in the American world, if you're poor, people always blame.
Yeah.
They say you're poor because you're fucking like you're fucking lazy.
Yeah, but that happens here as well. If you look at Colombo, there's so many
Do they get blamed for being like poor because they're lazy, or do they get blamed for being poor because they're
I think in Colombo they do to a certain extent blame them, and that's a result because Colombo is pretty much the city of Colombo, and in some ways it's westernized, you know, like.
No, but the thing is, it's more westernized in attitude than an actual opportunity. There's actually like,
sorry, go on. Yo, no, that was a good one. I like that. Go on. No, Colombo is more westernized in attitudes than in actual like opportunities.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And the thing is,
that's
so,
one forever, man. that's one for the ages. Go.
No, and so the thing what happens is that you have this very classist mentality, at least where people who have more than people have less.
Yeah.
There's always this sense of like, there's always this vertical ladder that can't be like reduced. And what happens is normally that people don't really think that people don't give people a job based on how it can grow. The job you have is always like a job you will be doing a year later. People don't give you a job with the sense that...
So, what it's called is, it's called social mobility, right? It's like, it's the kind of thing where, like, when you're, like, in another country, you may be working, right? And today, you're at an entry-level position, then you get to a higher position. Whereas in Sri Lanka, a lot of jobs, right? A lot of jobs that a lot of people do, like being waitstaff in a hotel, being... not waitstaff in a major hotel, but waitstaff in restaurants and stuff like that. People who work in cleaning, like cleaning janitorial kind of jobs. People who are like taxi drivers, three-wheel drivers and stuff like that. Where they never, their situation never improves. Right? They get paid the same amount the first day that they were a three-wheel driver as the last day that they were a three-wheel driver. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they get stuck in jobs where there's no mobility, where they have no methods of like saving up money, they have no methods of improving their lives. Some of them do. But only the really exceptional, badass, like incredible, like self-determination, and have a lot of like luck here and there kind of people.
Yeah,
like
and the thing is, the issue comes back into the fact that people aren't willing to pay more for something today than they are before because they think they're getting ripped off.
Yeah.
And so you have people, for example, who won't pay more simply because they think
can get something else for cheap.
Yeah.
Or
they get the same.
You guys haven't like read The Great Gatsby, right?
No, I haven't read it, but I know the story.
Okay, right. I love The Great Gatsby because like The Great Gatsby, the book, right? The movie, none of this shit really comes through clearly in the movie, right?
Yeah.
But when you read the book, the whole book is about the American dream. It's about the pursuit of the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the story is like, it's about class differences.
Yeah.
And Gatsby is in love with this woman, but he's from like the poorest social class and she's from like the richest social class,
yeah.
Right? And they fall in love during the war because during war times the classes get a bit blurred because
yeah.
You can join the army and then like any women date guys from the army, like it's not, the class barriers are broken down when you're in the army, right? You can get promoted to a position higher than someone from a higher social class and shit like that, right? In America, in the American army. And basically that's when they fall in love. And then later he spends his whole life trying to get rich to try to get her again. Because he wants to get her, so he gets rich and everything to get her.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But once he gets rich enough and once he gets her and she comes back into his life, she finds out that she wasn't worth that much anyway. And she doesn't really make him happy. She's kind of a piece of shit, actually.
Yeah,
she's
kind of
a shitty human being. Right. So anyway, this woman's like in love with, is like he's in love with her, or he's in love with the idea of being with her.
Yeah, yeah.
Once she comes back into his life, he finds out that she's not that good a person.
Yeah, yeah.
And what he's talking about is like the pursuit of wealth. The pursuit of wealth, in the sense that the pursuit of wealth is not just the pursuit of money and material things to consume, but it's the pursuit of being in another social class.
Yeah, status.
Right? Getting to status and the things that come from status. And I'm not someone who really believes in status, and I'm not someone who probably ever buy a luxury car. I'm not someone who probably ever, I don't wear fucking jewelry except for like this shit that I'm making myself in the house and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I probably won't like have any like of those symbols, right?
Yeah.
But when he expressed it as like he's in love with this woman and the woman happens to be rich, I don't know, man. If I was in love with a rich girl and I couldn't be with her because we're from different worlds.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You do what you gotta do, I think.
Yo, if you wrote The Great Gatsby, that was the book The Great Gatsby would be like. You gotta do what you gotta do, man, alright? The pussy's good. You gotta do it.
No, but I totally get the whole idea about, like, you know, striving for something all your life and then. But, you know.
And then getting it and realizing that it's fucking not, nothing. It's not worth anything. Yeah.
And I think most things in life are like that.
No, I reckon the pursuit of happiness is like that.
Yeah.
It's like you chase this thing and, like, you think it'll make you happy. You finally get it and you realize it's fucking nothing.
But it's, see, that's the thing, man. Happiness for me, it's not like, at least I want to think about it this way, but it's not something you gain. It's not like a thing you achieve in life, you know?
It's just a state of mind,
dude.
Okay, so that state of mind has to be achieved. You don't wake up and.
But people think of it as like, it's like a. Like a material thing, you know, like it's something like I'm trying to like say, like, it's like running a marathon. Like people train so that, you know, they finish a marathon. It's like in that sense, like I think most people think about it like that. Achieving a state of mind is true. You're right. I guess it's somewhat of, you know, something to achieve, but like it's not something that comes and goes, you know, it's like either you have or you don't, and that's what you gotta aim for.
Yeah, no. Most people think that happiness is like winning the medal after running the marathon.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, happiness is more about the, like, at least the ability to be happiness is the ability to be happy in the process of like training for and running whether you stand or not on the podium, dealing with your position that you.
Yeah. Because I reckon, man, in my life, all right, there's only two things that I found that give me like that, like full on sense of like happiness, right? Where like, one, that sense where you can like fucking die today and it would be all right. Your life is good. Like, I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I don't desire anything, right? There's only two things. One was like the feeling of being in love. That was like, this is, okay, I could do this for the rest of my life and this is a great way to live.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, I'm down. Like, whatever the fuck happens, I'm down now. I'm ready to die now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. The other one is like doing creative things and like creating things, right? Yeah. Like writing, if the podcast comes through well, like when you can like take your expressions and like make them good and make them clear and put them in a way that someone else can connect with them and understand them and then put them out. Those two things are the only things that I found that make me happy. And I'm trying to focus more on the latter than the former because this doesn't rely so much on like other people not being a dick to you. Right?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like, dude, like when you're talking about the pursuit of happiness, it is a getting into a mental state for sure. But I don't know if I believe in this like super like Buddhist kind of idea of like, whatever you're doing, like you can enjoy doing it. Like whatever you're doing, like maybe you can, man, but I don't reckon that, like,
I mean, it's not something, it's not, but your thing, I didn't mean it where I said, oh, want to have, it's like a permanent thing, you know. I think in life, you have to be sad, you have to be happy, you have to be so many things so that you can appreciate each of those things, you know. Like, I think if you're always happy, it's like anything, man, if you're always doing something, you're even if you may get bored of it, you know. It's like your feelings are like that too. If you're always happy, you're even if you may get bored of it. And so that's why you need to be sad, you need to be happy, you need to have a good time.
So I'm saying the difference between, like, for example, say, like, the kind of, okay, say you're training, like, for a fight.
Yeah.
Right? And you love fighting, right? But training is tough. You're on a diet. The diet sucks. You can't, like, sleep at night because your blood sugar levels are low and shit. You got to, like, get up in the morning. You got to train, like, early in the fucking morning. You kind of want to sleep in.
Yeah.
You, like, you haven't had sex for, like, a week because you believe in that whole testosterone increases when you're not having sex thing and shit. So that's also difficult for you. The only contact you're getting is, like, other men punching you in the face and shit. So it's, like, it's a rough kind of life. And then, like, you got to go to the ring and it's fucking tense and it's difficult, right? But the sense of sadness. What I'm talking about happiness, I'm talking about a sense of, like, I reckon there's a problem like this, right? I think there is no meaning to life. There is no objective meaning to life.
I mean, dude, but you're assuming this all boils down to the fact that you believe in God or not. I mean, that's all boys.
My belief in God is like this, right? My belief in God is like, I believe that there.
Before you go on a different tangent, I want to finish your original thought, which is that you said there's no meaning in your life.
Yeah.
And that is that because you believe there's no God, or do you believe?
I believe that there is no meaning to life, but I believe that actually it's connected. The two things are connected. I believe in something like this, right? Basically, I believe that there are four. I believe in four human problems. Okay. The first problem is that human beings, there's so much that we know about the universe, so much that we're learning, but there's so much that we don't know and so much that we'll never know, right? The mystery of life is hard for us because humans are very curious by nature.
Yeah, definitely.
So the whole mystery of it is perplexing and difficult for us. Secondly, I believe that humans believe in things like morality and justice.
Yeah,
that if something bad happens to you, if you do something bad, you deserve for something bad to happen to you.
Yeah.
And we believe in stuff like that. But the universe, sometimes really unfortunate things happen to good people.
Yeah.
Sometimes really like great things happen to like people who have been shitty and stuff like that. But they get lucky and stuff.
Yeah.
And that contradicts our feelings of morality and stuff like that.
Sure.
The third problem is that... we are going to die, and we know that we're going to die, and we can't stop ourselves from dying.
Okay.
And we're constantly plagued with the fear of dying.
Sure.
All right? And the last point is that human beings... So I believe that the universe existed always, that it had no beginning and it has no end. But human beings are used to like a narrativization. They want to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it's like a lesson or an idea or a meaning to it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's a human feeling.
Yeah.
Okay? I believe that God is whatever thing answers those four questions. Anything that you have that like it solves those four problems, that's God. I think that I looked into all the major religions in the world, and the thing I found in common was that every religion tries to like satisfy these four problems. Those are the four areas that everybody's always looking at.
Yeah.
Right? No, but I think those are the four areas that people need, like, comfort in, because those are, like, big questions that people have to, like, grapple with.
Exactly, yeah. But
the thing is, like, since those... What answers those four questions is normally religion, not God.
No, I don't think that's true. I think that God is the... Answer, yeah. I don't think that's true. I think religion is a political framework for that, like, that takes a monopoly on God. But I think that God is the actual answer to those four questions.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, it's like, but then it's kind of like synonymous in that, I mean, God is the same as religion, in that, okay, if you believe in God, then he's the one who asked you to, you know, follow this religion because, you know, you're going to come close to him.
But
so it's like, kind of like synonymous in that sense. So,
okay,
I mean,
but
it's the same thing. What you're saying,
no, but if you are, like, say, you are in love and that makes you not be afraid of dying, and that brings purpose into your life, if that makes you feel like life is fair and causality is okay, and whatever happens, you're ready for it. And if it makes you feel like...
No, okay, okay, let's take a full problem. Okay, what was the first problem? The
mystery.
Mystery. And, okay, so love, in a way, doesn't really answer that. It makes you not want to even approach a question because you're worried. You're just, all you think about is this girl.
Not this makes you not want to approach the question, but it makes you feel like... the journey to attain that mystery is enough, and that if you don't know things, that you'll still content with what you know.
Yeah,
I don't just mean love for a person, right? I don't just mean that. You can be in love with like a general. You can be in love with like your craft. You can be in love with like that state of like.
Yeah, being, yeah, yeah. But okay, yeah, I know exactly. Okay, fine. So that's a love. I get it. But then at the same time, what you just said, you're just putting the question to rest. It's like you're accepting the fact that. Yes, we know of things about the universe. In the future,
yeah.
The age of technology and things, we will know more.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we will never know anything, right?
Or there's something we'll never know.
So that's just kind of like putting the question at rest and say, oh, you're accepting it for what it is.
Not
that you're not really answering the question.
It's not putting it, not even, but God does not answer the question either, right? It's not based on investigation. It just gives you an answer for the question. But it's not
okay.
The actual answer. You know what I mean? It satisfies your need for the answer.
Okay, okay, fine.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
when you say God created the world, then it's like, oh, I guess we don't have to learn about creation anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Okay,
it satisfies your need to answer.
All right. What's the second question then?
The second question is like your fear of like, the second question is like your sense of justice and like what people would call karma or whatever in your life.
Okay. So how does love satisfy that?
Because, dude, when you do that, like when you have a general sense of love, and even if you have the general sense of love in your like society, even when bad things happen, you feel like you can face it. It brings that sense into you. Whereas, like, religion answers that question by saying, if someone's shitty in this life, they'll get fucked up in the next life.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, you got to, like you continue in the afterlife.
Okay, okay.
But that one kind of makes you, it makes you feel like whatever problem, you know when people say, like, the love will get you through it, like, it'll get you through hard times?
Yeah.
Because when bad shit is happening, you still feel that, like, support. To have difficult things happen to you, but to have someone like love you, or to have difficult things happen to you, but to have something you love at the same time, is a better feeling than to not have any problems happen to you and still feel unloved.
Okay.
That's the difficult thing. Like, that's the crazy thing about it.
But that's more like you're putting you as a central figure there. Like,
oh,
I'm the shitty thing that happened to
you. Yeah.
But as opposed to, but then, man, the thing about...
I'm saying that you are the center of the universe.
No, but okay, the thing about shit, when, you know, obviously, let's take recent examples, Gaza, right?
Yeah.
Like, shitty things are happening to them.
Yeah.
And as an outsider looking in, you're like, you're finding ways to justify it, you're finding ways to, you know, figure out, like, what the fuck is happening in there?
Yeah,
like,
no, but I think a lot of the process of what's happening outside is people trying to justify to themselves to continuously live the life they're leading currently, which, you know, doesn't actually solve any of the issues that they're being troubled with.
No, but wait, I don't understand. So, but what were you saying about the Gaza thing exactly? What are you saying?
Who, me? Oh,
yeah, yeah.
You were saying how, with the justice thing,
yeah,
right? You were like, okay.
I'm not just saying justice only, but I'm saying like justice, right, wrong, morality.
Yeah, yeah, all the other
things
of
that.
And then
yeah.
And
revenge.
Like, yeah, yeah. And so you were like, okay, if bad shit is happening to me, if someone at the same, but if I still have the love and support of somebody,
yeah,
a bunch of people,
yeah,
that feeling of, you know, acceptance or being loved or being whatever,
yeah,
is better than having none of that and no problems at all.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, okay, you're saying that shit's happening to me. I'm the one who's feeling that injustice, or I'm the one who's feeling that, you know, whatever, that
unfortunate like events. Yeah,
yeah,
sure, okay.
But in terms of like Gaza and shit, bad things are happening to other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a general consensus that Israel is a fucked up asshole, and that they're just, you know, brutally murdering and killing, you know, innocent people in Gaza.
Okay.
So in that sense, so he's speaking to my morality and justice, and I'm saying, okay, so Israel is clearly the bad guy here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What's happening? How are they gonna, you know, how is, like, the fact that I'm being loved.
Right, right.
And the fact that I have a good support system is not gonna help any of the people in Gaza,
okay,
or like
so
any of the, in, solve
right,
any of that problem.
Okay.
So that's what I was saying.
What I'm saying is this: in this thing, there's also two things to consider, right? One thing is like disasters that happen that are outside the control of like people, and the other thing is the disasters that happen that people are controlling.
Okay.
Right. So like you have like natural disasters,
sure,
you have sicknesses and stuff, but that they're really outside of people's control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then you have people like killing other people.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I think that if you are so say that, now love is one of the examples I used, but say that your example is like, okay, no, that's a bad way to go down this road. What I'm saying is like this, say that like, you are, when I say it's the center of your universe,
yeah,
I'm talking about whether you feel like this, like I'm saying that love becomes like your God, and then that soothes you and that makes you okay. I'm not saying that that means that you shouldn't pursue social change. I'm not saying that's something that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to help other people.
Yeah, it's, the thing is, like, normally when people talk about acceptance, it's not about, like, accepting the situation and sitting back. It's more about accepting what is happening and then, like, looking towards, like,
what's But I don't think that affects your, it shouldn't affect your direct sense of happiness.
No, but...
But for me, when I think about this world and think about God, it's like God is not only... See, you're saying, okay, if there's a God, it's a very... I agree. I first of all, let me say, I think religion is a very personal thing, and that you have your own relationship with God. But the difference between you and me is that what I see, or rather, correct me if I'm wrong, is that I think that when God is... When I think about God, like, he's, I think, in charge of everybody, all humans, you know? It's not only me he's in charge of. So, if he has a responsibility towards me, he has equal responsibility towards you and to you and everybody.
Oh, okay.
So in that sense, but at the same time, different things happen to different. I'm not saying that because he has responsibility to each and everyone, that doesn't mean that everybody should have the same life. Everybody should be equal. No, not at all. What I'm saying is that certain things happen to people, and that's the way the world works. And everybody's different.
Oh, okay.
And so to explain the whole justice thing and this morality thing, right? The only way I explain to myself to make sense of bad things happening to good people, or rather good things happening to bad people,
uh-huh.
is that. So I believe in God, one God. I believe there's a heaven, and maybe there's a hell too, right?
Okay.
So, and I do believe that the afterlife is kind of like what you are living this world for. That there is an afterlife, and that there is something better. If you do good, that's where I disagree with religion sometimes, because religion says you have to do this in order for you to have a better afterlife.
Okay.
But my view is like, okay, maybe not this, but maybe that. You know what I mean? So I have my own version of what I need to do in order for me to achieve that better afterlife.
Yeah.
And that includes being a good person, you know,
right.
being a fucking asshole.
Right.
Not necessarily like praying like certain times a day. So in that sense, when I think about bad things happening to good people, I'm saying God is just taking them earlier than...
To the heaven. Okay.
Than keeping everybody else. See, for us, this is all we know right now.
Right.
So it's like staying in this world is more shittier. I think we can't comprehend that yet, but I feel like after we die, we understand that staying in this world is what, you know, it's not as good as
what
comes out.
Right.
And
so
when good things happen to bad people, that's just prolonging their life in this country.
In this world. Right,
you know?
Right.
And so at that time, they might think, okay, this is good and this is happening.
Right,
whatever.
Right.
But they, maybe after they die and like, you know, understand, like have a grander picture of what's actually the case, they might realize that. You know, not.
Right.
That,
so,
no,
so the difference between what you're saying and what I'm saying is like something like this, right? You are essentially saying that God is something that is a being.
Yeah.
Of some form,
yeah.
is like a thing, right? Is a thing
yeah.
or a person or a being,
yeah, whatever,
right?
Yeah.
That has a power to control certain events, right?
Not necessarily control,
but at least has manages heaven or manages anything,
yeah, yeah,
or something
yeah,
like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm saying that God is something that you do. I'm saying God is more like a feeling. I'm saying God is more like a state of mind. I'm saying that when you do certain things, you attain, you channel into like the God frequency for a period of time, and it's not permanent. You can become disconnected with God again,
yeah.
but then you can reconnect with God. I'm saying something like that. Like God is when you are channeled into the God frequency,
yeah.
these four questions go like kind of silent, and they become like satisfied, but then you can break from the God frequency, and then like God can.
So what do you think happens to you when you die? Is it nothing? Do you believe in an afterlife, or do you just say, okay, that's it, you know, this is it, that's it, there's no soul per se?
Well
I mean, what do you think? Do you think there's an afterlife?
No, I think it, yes, in the sense that I don't think you die when your body dies.
Okay.
But the thing is that I don't think that, like, well, actually, even if you look at Islam, there is something like it says, I just found this yesterday, but like basically the eye in which you die is the eye in which you're most perceptive. And the reason your eyes glaze is because they like start looking with like perception we never had before.
Mm-hmm.
And so like in that, and like, for example, if you've watched like Jacob's Ladder, there's an awesome quote, like...
What is Jacob's Ladder?
Jacob's Ladder is a movie about this Vietnam war vet. I won't ruin the movie. It's epic.
Okay.
But basically, during the course, he's having to deal with, like, dying and his eventual death. And one of the quotes in the movie is something along the lines of, if you look at your life as something precious, then death is going to be a struggle because you're trying to hold on to it. And whatever the act of moving away from it will be painful.
Yeah.
And if you just realize you're just in a transitory state, and no state that you've been has been fixed, your whole life has been a journey from one moment to the next.
Yeah.
And so if you realize that the moment you're in is again another movement.
Yeah.
Then you can let go, and that's how you achieve like a decent death.
Yeah.
So like the whole struggle of heaven and hell, I think, is in that, in that moment of which
being willing to let go.
Yeah,
the transcendent.
So I mean, okay.
I believe in something like this, right? I believe in something like, I don't believe, I don't necessarily believe that consciousness is something that your brain is creating. Like, I think that consciousness might be, like, there's a lot of theories that say consciousness might be like something that exists in another dimension, and your brain is like pulling it in like an antenna or something like that. But what I believe is that, like, we are all part of one thing, but it's like manifesting in different, like, incantations. Like, it's like some of us are manifesting as a table, and some of us are manifesting as a human, and some of us are manifesting as a rock, and some of us are manifesting as a sun. And I think that when you die, you will dissolve and continue to be manifested in different forms. You'll be eaten by a worm, and you'll be manifesting as a worm, like dinner. You'll be moving on, like you'll be like consumed by a tree, and you manifest as a tree.
That's pretty trippy, man. Like, honestly, I mean, that's, see, for me, like, it's it, with death, partly why I believe there's going to be an afterlife or whatever is, honestly, it's because, man, I'm it's optimistic to believe like that, dude. Because I refuse to. I mean, I'm scared, man. It's like, I'm scared that you know, when you die, that's it. I refuse to believe. I can't live my life thinking that when I die, that's gonna be it. You know, I wanna believe that there has to be something more than this, and it's, otherwise it's very difficult for me to kind of do things or accept things. Anyway, I have to fucking go, man. But listen, I'm gonna end with answering your four questions.
Yeah,
with my idea of God. I feel that's a good end.
No, but I don't think that doesn't make sense, though, because my my idea of God is that God is an answer to the four questions. So if your idea of God is different, then it can't be an answer.
No, but you
to
said
four
that's
questions.
Four human problems, right? And
yeah.
I agree with those human problems.
Are you saying that your idea of God also answers the four human problems?
Yeah, I'm saying if your idea to explain all of this is you have four human problems.
Yeah.
And like, there's, you know, there's something that's gonna.
Yeah, to be clear, what I found is that when I looked at all different, like, religions and all different spiritual beliefs, I found that those, all the different beliefs are trying to answer these four questions.
I mean, the general ideologies around this. Exactly, and I agree with
that. I consider that those are the four problems that every kind of spiritual teaching is trying to solve these four
because
problems.
It's not like, see, that people say, oh, there's a pre, that's like, you know, you have a set life, you know, everything is fucking gonna happen the way God planned it to be, and you know, you can't, and I think that's bullshit. Because I think humans are like, we have the ability to think, we have the ability to do things, we have the ability to make choices, you know? So I think that at any given time, if I made a different choice, my life would have gone a different way. And I think it's like each person's life is like a tree. You know, you go up the tree and you decide which branch you want to go on next, you know? And then you go, and then your aim is to get to the top, but like, you can go to the top using different ways, you know? And like, those choices you make along the way will determine like your pathway and like how you do in life.
But the tree is a weird metaphor because the tree has both branches.
Yeah, maybe tree is a fucked up metaphor. Well, you get what I'm trying to fucking say, right?
Like, I would say it's like a vine. Like
vine. Yeah, it's
like,
you know, you have a set, you have your life, then you have opportunities, circumstances, and then within that you have choices to make, and depending on what choice you make.
Yeah, okay.
And then based on that, so you can either be like the same, let's just for simplicity say, let's say God made the exact same person and like he has the exact same fucking opportunities and circumstances. One could be like a horrible murderer, one could be a fucking saint. And like,
that's a weird thing to say.
And like it's just based on like what I feel like those choices that were made, those circumstances that they were put into, like,
I think two exact people in the exact same circumstances would make the exact same choices.
No.
Two of the exact same people in the exact same
depends on the circumstances that they faced before.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, but let me tell you this. The reason why I say no is because, yes, you might be the exact same person, but there's a circle of people around you that influence you.
That's also a circumstance, though. Your circle of people are also a circumstance.
Yeah, but then, okay, for example, your parents, like, say you and I are the exact same person, right? But then your parents might be...
Your parents also a circumstance.
No, I know, but like, your parents might be different to my, the way my parents...
But that's different circumstances.
But that's their own... Your parents and my parents have their own life set up.
Because their circumstances have been different.
For there to be exact circumstances, everything has to be the same.
Yeah. I believe in
maybe you're thinking too much into what I said.
No, what I'm saying is,
I'm just saying people can make choices.
Okay.
And that could determine like how they go in life.
Okay.
That's basically what it is.
Okay. So your choices determine how you go in life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Go from there.
Yeah. And then, so your four problems. Like basically the first one was, so I answered your justice one. Okay.
What's the justice? It's like God is going to take you earlier.
Yeah, it's like if you go earlier, like the way to explain to yourself,
okay,
like, okay, you're just in a better place,
okay,
then
okay,
that's good for you.
Okay.
The first one was about, what was it again? It's fucking like,
you, there are many mysteries that you can't, are learning some things you can't explain.
Yeah, and I feel like when you die and then go to heaven or wherever it is, I think
everything will be explained.
Everything will be explained.
Okay.
Okay. The third one was to do with, death, right? Like,
yeah,
the fact that you're going to die. Yeah, the fact that you're going to die.
And you know that you're going to die.
You know that you're going to die. And then I think that also deals with, kind of like deals with...
afterlife.
The afterlife.
Okay.
And like having a better afterlife.
Yeah.
And so this, you know, that basically that
okay,
that whole thing.
Okay.
And last one was, what was it?
Last one was the fact that we need to have a beginning, middle and end, and we need to feel a sense of meaning in our lives.
Yeah.
Like, we always want to have meanings and things. Humans are like that. We like meanings.
See, I agree with purposes. You. I agree with you when you said, like, the universe always existed. I don't think, like a Big Bang, for example. Like, I don't think that should happen, you know? Like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that
happened. I don't think there's a point of creation.
Yeah.
And
exactly,
I don't think
exactly. Yeah, so I don't think, like, I agree, definitely agree with you. I don't think there's an end, start, beginning, and end. I think it always existed. And I think maybe, you know, there were different worlds out there at some point. Like, this is just a state of this... time in this period is just this period in this universe and whatever, but that also, you know, is like something that you can once you die and go into afterlife, and that's your eternity, and that's pretty much forever.
The last point is about meaning. What about your need to have your life have a sense of meaning and purpose? You need for your life to have a sense of purpose. Humans always tend to searching for a sense of purpose.
Yeah, and your purpose is to achieve that better afterlife, you know?
But then your purpose becomes to die.
Not necessarily to die.
To die well.
Yeah, it's not, yeah.
To die well.
Everybody's going to die, so it's not your purpose to die, but it's like what you do before that.
Right.
So that you can have a better afterlife or more,
I suppose, or
better eternity.
So my only issue with that whole way of thinking is that I have no reason to believe that it's true. Except that I would like for it to be true.
Yeah.
There is no reason
fair
to believe
point.
That such a thing is true, except that that would be nice if it was true.
Fair point. Definitely. And I can tell right now that I cannot argue with that, because I cannot say, oh, here, this is God in my hand right now, you know? Like, obviously, it's something that's unseen.
However, with my thing, you can feel it. If you believe that God is a state of, like, awareness, or God is
I can feel God too sometimes. There are certain things that have happened in my life, I'm like, holy shit, like, that, it cannot be by chance that this just happened.
Like what? Like serendipity, is what you're saying. You're saying that serendipity is an act of God?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like certain things, like, you know, like certain, like,
but then
for
the
example,
problem
like
with
the fact
that, the problem with that is that if that is true, the opposite also has to be true. If serendipity is an act of God, then great misfortune should also be an act of God.
I think it's a combination of both.
I think
you are supposed to live your life the way you should, you know, like, I mean, not the way you should, though, you have your mind to think, to act a certain way, so it's, and you have a certain personality, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
But at the same time, you know, you have God watching over and giving you a hand.
So he's like, it's like a thing in
because,
the sky, like watching you.
Well, not a thing in the sky.
A thing in another dimension.
Whatever.
Like,
I don't. I'm not going to explain that because I don't know what that
is. But
know?
It's watching you.
It's like
it's actively
because
involved.
Throughout the course of your life, you're going to do good things, right? And so these little things that you do are like, you know, are like things that, like, it's like, it's not like you do all of this and you're going to be rewarded at the end. You know,
right.
You do these things and you're getting rewarded little by little, and ultimately you also get a final, like, the ultimate reward at the end when you die. But like, also,
so you believe that
by
as you do good things, you get blessings.
You get blessings along the way.
So when bad things happen, that's a curse for you doing bad things.
I think yes, but I think that's a very subjective. I don't want to argue with you because that's a very subjective thing.
That is true in the same way that sometimes when good things happen when you don't deserve it.
No, but that's the opposite of what he's saying.
No. But there is the aspect that when you do good, good things happen. But also there's a small aspect of good things happening. You just receive
good things. It's also a test. You know?
So good things happen because you do good, but good things happen also because you... because you did good.
No, let me explain.
That's a confusing thing.
Let me explain. It's like God tests you. It's like he gives you certain things to test you.
Bad things happen, it's a test. And when good things happen, it's a blessing.
No, I'm not... You're basically saying it's black or white, man. It's not black or white.
No, I'm saying that you're saying it's black or white.
No.
The key is both are tests.
Good things are also a test.
God is always
testing you for the next life.
It's like when you, for example, like if you win the lottery, for example.
Yes.
You know? I mean, most people will think, oh, that's a good thing that just happened to this person. Just want a shitload of fucking money, you know?
Okay.
Now, what do you do with that money?
So that's a test.
It's like God said, okay, I'm going to give you this money. What are you going to do with it? And then if you end up fucking your life up like most people who win the lottery do.
Okay.
Basically, you fail the test. If you do good with it, you know, if you invest it in the correct way, if you give a little bit of charity to people, you know, if you help people with that money, that's a good thing that you did with the money that came to you. And that's a blessing in itself, and that will lead to bigger and better things.
But then is it that your actions have led to bigger or better things, or is it that like you've done a good thing and therefore God is blessing you with bigger and better things?
Yeah, and that those bigger and better things are not necessarily monetarily, but I'm saying in terms of...
No, but are those blessings coming from God, or those blessings coming as a result of your actions?
It's those are one and the same thing. It's like doing, for example, it's like...
How are they the same thing?
Because if I like give charity, for example, like if I feel really good about it, right? Like, say, that's a human reaction. It's like, oh, if I give some money to an organization... I feel good, oh, I've done something good, I'm helping people.
Okay.
So that's a blessing at the same time. It's like, okay, God gave me this money in order to give to this person. So he's giving me that blessing in order to help me get that blessing. For example, like...
He's giving you a blessing to get another blessing.
Yeah, he's like giving me...
He's empowering
me to do certain things. So like, it's like, okay, at the same time, the benefit that I get out of it is that I feel good.
Okay,
about doing something good for somebody else. So at the same time, God is allowed, since He empowered me to do that, and I did it.
Okay, like
that's a blessing. That's like one good. That's like plus one for me.
I get what you're saying. But the problem with this is that it is purely like you cannot. It has no existence or argument beyond a purely retrospective validation. Right. That means that every time something happens, you can you look at what has happened and you frame God in a different way so as to like match the circumstance. It's purely retrospective, right?
No, not necessarily.
No, it is, right? Because it's like if a good thing happens, and that is God giving you a blessing, which is also a test. If a bad thing happens, that is also God giving you a bad thing, which is also a test.
The thing is, I suppose if you're going under the same logic, it would be like the bad thing also could be a blessing in the sense that it will cultivate a certain perception or give you a certain understanding.
Right. But the idea that like, but after the thing is happening,
winning the lottery, it's not necessarily, that's not a blessing, that's a test. It's not a blessing.
It's a blessing and a test, right?
No, it's not. It's like the fact that you...
It's only a test.
It's only a test, and that what you do with it will lead to certain things that you may feel about yourself. Like say, like you've been struggling with certain things, you know? Maybe like what you do with that money might help you answer those questions for yourself. And the fact that you gave money away, for example, is a blessing in plus one.
At one point is... Okay, so based on your actions, you get a... No, but a plus one is different from an earthly blessing. It's two different things you're talking about. A plus one in your book is different from being blessed on earth. As in, your circumstances are conspiring in such a way as...
As human beings, we deal with problems, you know, like feelings. Thoughts and all this shit, like it could be a variety of different things. And so when I say it's not really a blessing on earth, when you say an earth blessing, that's not what I meant. I meant like it might lead to something that helps you answer certain questions about what you feel.
And then that's a blessing.
Those are two positives that come out of it.
No, my only issue, dude, is like you know, think about what you're doing right here, right? Like whatever circumstance is happening, right? You are crafting like a role for God to play in the circumstance based on how you feel about the circumstance. It's a purely retroactive definition of the role that God played in the circumstance. Once the circumstance is already played out, then you place the parts that are important for you into the story, and you place the parts of God also into the story.
No, not necessarily, because you're doing this in the event, hoping that, you know. So okay, let's go back to the whole idea of you getting a whole bunch of money and you donating it, for example.
Okay.
And say you win the a lottery.
Okay.
And you give charity. Right?
Yes.
So say you were dealing with problems prior to this, say with like being happy or being content or whatever it may be, you know. So say you get the money, that's a test from God. Okay.
Okay.
Now you have this whole bunch of money. What do you do with it? Do you splurge it all on fucking strippers and hookers and booze and drugs and waste all of it?
Okay.
And not help anybody in this world, or do you do good with it? You give it to charity. You know, you help. You build a cause and you fund it. Whatever.
Okay.
So doing the cause, the charity part of it.
Okay.
Is a plus one in your book.
Okay.
At the same time, it helps you become content and happy and blah blah blah, because
okay.
So that's what I'm saying. So
and like, what is that, that you becoming content or whatever, is that a blessing?
No, that's just becoming, having a better state of existence in your life.
Okay, what did God do in this scenario?
He enabled you to win that money or whatever it is, financial.
And when he did that was a blessing or a test?
That was a test.
Okay. And then?
And then so say you did good and you passed the test,
mm-hmm.
that enabled you to live a better life and be content with certain other things and like, you know,
which is a blessing.
Which is a blessing for yourself.
Okay. Then you win the lottery, you get the money, you take the money, you give it to a charity. The head of the charity turns out to be like someone that you really trusted, but you shouldn't trust them with their money. They steal all the money and they run away and go and live in the Cayman Islands or some shit like that. What is that? What happened there? That is an equally likely scenario as the scenario of you winning the lottery. Like, there's more like charity fraud than like lottery winners.
No, sure.
What did God do there?
I don't know, man. I can't. Maybe it's like what it's all. What about it? It all depends on what you did. I think you did the right thing, or you did what you felt was right, or you know, you didn't just splurge it. You made things happen with it that you thought would be good.
So what did? But the person taking the money and going, that was God, or that was the person?
That was God giving him a test. So it's from the eyes of the charity, he's like, okay, I'm the head of this charity. You know, I'm doing a good thing here. I just got a shitload of money to help the charity. So that's a test for him. And what do you do with it? He makes a wrong decision and fucking decides to say hell with it and, you know, fucks off.
So the test was, your actions were a test for him.
Maybe, dude.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then
he
takes it and goes, that's a blessing or a curse.
That's a test that God gave him, and he clearly failed the test by deciding.
But what is it to you?
What do you mean? What is it?
Were you blessed or were you cursed? Somebody took all your money and ran away.
You again tested.
You again tested.
Yeah.
Okay. So whenever something happens. Like
it could see, your thing. See, the way you're thinking about it, man, it's like, okay, you have one test and you have a result. And that's it.
I'm not thinking about it like that at all.
The series. It's a,
what I'm saying is like this. No. What I'm saying is like this. Right? Is that you look at all the events that are happening in your life, right? And then you are creating like a narrative, and you're saying, in this part God was testing, in this part God was blessing, in this part God was testing this other person.
But then everything is retroactive. If you look at the past, right? Obviously, shit happens to you in the present. You make choices then and there, and then those.
It's not the same as like when something is happening in the present and you feel it in the present and you know that it's true in the present. And it's not a story that you're telling yourself.
Yeah.
For example,
you do things so that in the future.
Let me give you an example, right? For example, when you meditate, if you go into a high, deep, like sense of meditation, right, and you feel that state where like your mind has kind of like left you and your mind is kind of quiet and it's not experiencing anything. Okay, yeah. That is happening right then and right there, and you are feeling it.
It does not require a
retroactory explanation.
Yeah, you're right. Now I know what you mean when you said the retroactive. Yeah, I did. Like, you do things like, I mean, that pretty much is on par with the whole idea of like dying and living in the afterlife.
And in this sense, in the definition of God that you are giving, there is no difference between God and like in the idea of God that you're giving, you are creating God. In the sense that there's no difference between God existing and you creating. because they're both two different stories that you're telling about, like, your past. So as you're telling the story about the physical events that are taking place, you're also inserting the things that happen on a metaphysical level, and your metaphysical narrative becomes the role of God in the story. Right? So you have the physical narrative that actually happened.
Yeah.
Then you have the metaphysical narrative of the forces behind what actually happened and the feelings behind what actually happened.
Yeah, but the part that you're missing there...
And your metaphysical narrative is God.
Yeah. But the part that you're missing there is that when you're assuming that the forces behind it... It's not like the forces behind are controlling it. They're just providing the parameters for what you are supposed to do. And in that parameter, it's up to you what you do.
But that's just two different ways of describing what the role that God played in the events. It's two different ways of describing it. One is that it's controlling. One is that he's providing things for you to do. So
he's not controlling. He's not controlling. Right, the parameter. So like I said,
he's controlling the. Okay,
he's controlling the parameters.
The degree to which you are in control, the degree to which God is in control, the degree to which you are influencing events, and the degree to which God is influencing events. The reasons and the results of the events that you control, the reasons and the results of the events that God controls, are all parts of a narrative that you are telling yourself. It may be true, it may be false. Okay, what I'm saying is that this, right?
I know what you're saying. You're saying that the actual scene that happens, the physical idea or like physical strain of events, and then you have the metaphysical strain of events, which is pretty much the forces behind what's happening.
Yes.
But then what I'm saying is, okay, yeah, those forces are not controlling what you do, but they're providing just the general, it's like a fucking movie. It's like you're setting the scene
I think most people, they try and focus on God being very like a control freak, rather than when the fact is that, in a sense, like if you look at sort of like a creator creation sort of relationship,
mm-hmm.
it's not necessary that God created your exact moment here. Mm-hmm. By crafting everything else around it,
mm-hmm.
but the initial seeds being laid and this being the result of, you know, the process, process.
Yeah, it's like the
not
entire,
just you,
yeah.
your decisions, but like
from the time you were fucking born, you know, from the time you were fucking born to now, everything has been like cultivated in a certain way, and that's just, you know,
right. But I'm saying that exact certain way, right. The degree to the meanings, the role that God played in those events in setting them up, the role that you played in those events for making choices, that exact certain like level of influence, degree of influencing, degree of not influencing, the level that your actions influenced it and didn't influence it, all of that is being assigned by you. You are assigning all of the degrees of influence into the causal narrative.
Yeah. You are saying that the fact that I am explaining to myself that the fact that
if something is a test, you are saying this was a test.
Yeah.
This is God testing me.
Yeah.
But that's you saying this is God testing
me. Yes.
Right.
Yes,
you are creating the narrative of God. You're creating the God narrative.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'm not really. Yes.
Yeah. You're the point of God narrative origination.
Yes.
In your universe, in your personal universe.
In my personal universe, like. If I were to, I would say that I'm, but that's a retroactive thing that I'm thinking about. I see what they're saying.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, like it's still a retroactive thing because you're in the future looking back in the past.
No, but
it's not something in the present where you can say, oh, I'm in the present. I know this is a test happening right
so
now.
So I think that's fine, right? That way of understanding God is totally cool. And I think that's like something that works for a lot of people, like that helps them to deal with issues, deal with events and stuff in a more positive way.
Yeah.
For sure, right?
Yeah.
For me, I want to, feel something. Okay, cool. Okay, but I'm just saying I want to feel something.
Yeah.
I want it to be, something that I could feel, and then I want to make sense of the feeling as opposed to weave the narrative. I want it to feel like something.
And that's something, the feeling, yes, definitely. But the only thing I could say that is, like I said, like there are certain things that happened in my life that I feel like, oh, okay, shit. That just couldn't just have happened because of cause and effect or, you know, luck of me being that's nothing. It's like, that's definitely some sort of divine intervention there.
When I talk about the morality thing, though, that particular one of the four issues, that is, I think, is one of the problems, is that incredible misfortune is difficult for human beings.
Yeah.
Incredible fortune is also very difficult for human beings.
Yeah, it's
we can't handle being incredibly fortunate in the same way that we can't handle being incredibly
misfortunate. There's always a fucking balance in it.